Coming up, Dragon Challenge is officially closing. Plus, we're going to talk about the future of Universal Orlando. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 137 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Please visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I, of course, am your host, Mr. Craig Williams, and today I'm joined alongside by my co-host, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hello. Happy to see you today.
Thank you.
Top of the morning to ya.
Yes, top of the morning to ya.
Yes, absolutely.
Put an exclamation on the end of that.
So it's not in the morning right now. It is actually afternoon because, you know, that's what time of day it is, and we are here for you with another episode of the Universal Edition. This one's going to be a sad one, but it's also going to be a speculative one. Oh, yeah, that was some great use of brass instruments.
I know. I've got to get mouth violin going.
Nope.
Wouldn't that be a talent?
Sure. Sure.
If we were in post, I would say, like, oh, let me open my mouth and insert violin music here later.
No, man, we don't do that. We do not do any post-production whatsoever at all. So, yes, we have a very great episode for you. Very great, very good, terrible grammar. Let's just
pretty good.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Curb that. Curb your enthusiasm, please. Yeah, it's been kind of a wild couple weeks with us. I don't remember if we were here or gone last week. I think you were gone. We were gone the week before that because we were out in California. Obviously, the big thing when we were out in California is that basically everything that has been speculated on in terms of Disney parks for the future was announced over the course of an hour and a half at the Disney Parks and Resorts panel at the D23 Expo. And so, yeah, that's all Disney related. That has nothing to do with Universal, except for one key point, and that is since all those announcements were made, members of this team, the Diz Unplugged team, as well as many people on the internet, the Twitter, the Facebook, all of that, have jumped immediately to saying, okay, well, Disney announced this, 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 and that. So, Universal, what's your response going to be? And I do not take this very lightly because I'll get into it as we go on with this, but basically at this point now, everything that Universal announces for the next 2 years, everyone's just going to immediately jump and say, this was a response to Disney. This was a response to Disney. Clearly that's a response to Disney. I don't think we should get ahead of ourselves here and start saying stuff like that because
they clearly have a plan laid out because they, like, now somebody could even be like, well, Nintendo was a response to Disney. And I'm like, well, no, I think Nintendo is just them bettering their theme parks. And the thing we're going to talk about here today, too, you don't just jump and make that decision overnight. You know what I mean? Like, that was clearly already in the works.
Yeah. So let's just jump in the first part of this, and then we'll get to more of the speculation and the rest later. But this week it was announced, in fact, that Dragon Challenge will officially be closing forever starting on September 5th. So if you're looking for a last minute trip to Universal to get a chance to ride Dragon Challenge, you need to do that by September 4th. That is your final day to do so. I know you don't care.
I don't want to do it again. I mean, I if it's a never again, I don't know. Tempting fate. I survived once. I might have to because we did only do one side.
Yeah, you only did the Hungarian horntail, the blue side. You still have to do the Chinese fireball. So you have to go back and do that.
Yeah,
for sure. You can't just not. But Yeah, we did our show on Dragon Challenge a couple months ago now, I want to say. It's been quite a while, but we did that in anticipation as a Hall of Fame episode, knowing that down the road here that we would be getting...
Upon us.
What?
This day would be upon us.
Yes, this day would be upon us. The Dragon Challenge would be announced that it would be closing its doors. And, you know, so it wasn't a surprise. I was... even told as of last week that there was going to be a meeting held where it's probably going to get announced that Dragon Challenge will be closing its doors this week. That ended up coming true. And I've had friends telling me for, I want to say it's been about definitely a year and a half, if not 2 years, the Dragon Challenge was on the chopping block. And the first time it was on the chopping block, it got saved. And
yeah, there was no mystery because it was going to go away for that sky coaster they were going to build.
Yeah, exactly. And so plans passed with that. And then all those permits started coming out that were kind of pointing towards potential new Wizarding World of Harry Potter attractions. And what it turns out that we are getting in place of Dragon Challenge is a brand new roller coaster.
Mm.
So we're replacing a roller coaster with a roller coaster.
Mm.
But, you know, this new attraction is supposed to open up in 2019. So Universal says this all new thrill ride will take you deeper into J.K. Rowling's Wizarding World, where you will encounter some of your favorite characters and creatures. It'll be unlike anything we've ever done before and will be fun for the entire family.
Bold.
The new attraction will be one of the most highly themed coaster experiences we've ever created. It will combine a new level of storytelling with an action-packed adventure and a few surprises along the way. So our award-winning Universal creative team is once again collaborating with Warner Brothers and the production design team from the Harry Potter films to bring this new coaster experience to life. This ride is going to redefine the category and transport you to thrilling places, drawing you into even more exciting adventures within the Wizarding World. It's going to be the perfect addition to Hogsmeade.
I'm excited either way.
Yeah.
If it's anything like Escape from Gringotts.
And that's where, like, I know they literally didn't put out any true details besides it's going to be a roller coaster, it'll be highly themed, and it'll essentially be fun for the entire family. That's the only true details you kind of get out of it. When they say stuff like characters and creatures, that makes you think, when you instantly say creatures, instantly I think it's going to have something to do with, as many people have speculated,
Fantastic
before.
Beast.
Well, I not even that, just even the forest. So,
it technically where it is the right spot for it, isn't it? So, like, if they make it all forest themed and you go through the forest, interesting.
Yeah, because they could still keep Hagrid's hut right where it's at.
Yeah.
With
I like that.
With Flight of the Hippogriff, and then it could delve into the forest there. I do agree too. At some point, they're going to have to bring Fantastic Beasts into it, and you know, if they could jump, and there's only two Fantastic Beasts movies out by the time that this is opened, that's actually really. That's a really smart thing, trying to get it in while there's still three more movies waiting to be released. You know, it definitely hitting the hype right in the middle of it. Think if the Wizarding World of Harry Potter could have opened up right somewhere around like movie four, instead of not opening up all the way until like the sixth movie.
If they sold the book at Universal, like the midnight release party would have just been, they could have charged so much money for that.
Exactly.
And people would go. I would have, to get your Harry Potter book in, like, at the store where they sell the school books. Yeah.
Oh, one of my greatest memories of working at Universal ever was a shift where I didn't come in until 11 o'clock. And
I left
at 4 in the morning.
I didn't go see the movie at City Walk like my friend wanted me to do, like an idiot. And I'll tell you, too, I had a horrible movie viewing experience where I did end up going, too, because somebody talked to the whole movie, and behind me they were like, which one's Voldemort? And I was like, I'll kill you in the parking lot after this.
Well, as Rhino is kind of pointing out, after the final movie, debuted in theaters. If you went to see it at City Walk, I think I've told this before. If not, fun new one. Everyone who saw the movie at City Walk then was able to go into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
So
Flight of the Hippogriff was open for them for Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. It was you just were able to walk through the castle. The ride has to go down every night for maintenance. It's a requirement. So we weren't able to be open for everyone, but you got to walk through. And I would say basically one out of four people was dressed up for the event. So it was like one of the most magical things in the world. So yeah, to be able to take advantage of that and do more events like that because you're ahead of the next movies that are coming out, that would be absolutely incredible. So, you know, it's going to have something to do with the forest or Fantastic Beasts, no doubt. And I'm glad that it is going to be more family friendly. That is a shortcoming of Dragon Challenge, that the, you know, it's a high speed, intense roller coaster. And it just the height requirement is so large that a lot of small kids couldn't go on. Mm. And a lot of terrible parents tried to force their small kids to go on and get them to cheat the height system and putting their kids in danger of being very, very hurt.
Well, it's not even that for me. For me, it's like it's you've got such like when they built the railroad, the Hogwarts Express. It was kind of like you saw the area a little differently than you used to. Yeah. So when you're getting out of the express, like, and you're supposed to be at school, there's like these giant metal tracks that are coming up over the train station, you know? And it was kind of like, ooh, before when you were only going in that main entrance or by the entrance by Jurassic Park, you didn't really have the roller coaster was kind of tucked in this like little gully, like alcove kind of thing. And so I always have been like, it's not quite as magically visually as like when you step in a Diagon Alley and you're completely absorbed, because I'm like, there's a roller coaster like right here that doesn't really fit the rest of this.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't think anyone's arguing that Dragon Challenge itself was ever going to be a permanent thing in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. You know, it was a very popular ride as Dueling Dragons, and it was still pretty popular when it became Dragon Challenge, but you know, we heard it all the time from people that as soon as the queue changed, and even though I didn't get to experience the old queue, you know, when you'd have someone come back who never experienced Dragon Challenge before but experienced Dueling, they were very disappointed in the changes made to the queue, and that it just felt like a little flaky overlay at kind of putting Potter into it.
And, felt a little lazy.
And yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, of course, we mentioned in that episode and talked about it before, the issues that then started to arise that made the Dueling features no longer be available. It's definitely gone downhill and made itself seem less relevant throughout the year. So it does. Dragon Challenge itself is such a big footprint in that area that the rest of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter essentially fits in that area that Dragon Challenge sits in, because, you know, it's a 125-foot lift hill. And it's with that, it's not a go straight up and go up.
Well,
it is a slow,
like,
long climb.
Yeah. If it is another outdoor roller coaster, my guess is it's going to be an indoor area.
Yeah.
But if it is another outdoor one, it kind of needs just maybe a paint job that matches the aesthetic. The other thing is too, is like, because it's bright orange and bright blue, it's two colors that don't really, but I get it. Like, those are the dragon colors and stuff, but it just, like, something that blends a little bit better. That's all.
Oh, I have no doubt that it's going to be inside. Some people are starting to speculate that there might be an outside feature to it
indoor,
as well.
Indoor, outdoor?
Mm-hmm. Indoor, outdoor. I don't know if they're going to go that route at all, just because...
Well, it's always nighttime when the kids go in the forest.
Yeah. Well, and if you keep it all indoor, then... It's you never have to worry about Florida weather.
That's
which,
true.
Which, like,
that's
right
true.
Now in the summer months, it's been terrible. Yeah. Every day, I feel like hours. Even if it hasn't rained, lightning has gotten close enough that it starts shutting down all the outdoor attractions.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, I think it's going to be primarily indoors If not entirely indoors.
Well, I hope so, because I prefer indoor roller coasters anyways.
I know you do.
You can just elevate the theming that much better.
You get less scared.
Yeah, because then it's all dark and you can't see your death waiting for you.
That is a good way to put it. Regardless, I am so upset about the Dragon Challenge news. You know, I've talked about it on that show before that we did on it.
Your first attraction?
Not my first. My first was Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, but this was my last attraction. I mean, I shouldn't say it in that way. In my whole life of working in theme parks, I only worked at Test Track. I worked at Potter at Forbidden Journey. Then I worked at Dragon Challenge. I rescued once or twice at like Ollivander's and other places, but the actual positions that I was locked in, that was my home venue. Dragon Challenge was one of the three, and that was also the place where I was an attractions lead. So I had the smallest amount of authority that you could have when working in a theme park, which was definitely a cool aspect of it. Beyond that, I've said it before, it's where I met Kylie. So we met at Fireball Unload. That was the first time I ever talked to her back and forth. And so
that's where her nickname Fireball comes from.
Yeah, you know it. It's just
and her love of the whiskey.
Don't you know it? But as an attraction, it's time for it to go. As an emotional thing, I am devastated that it's going to be leaving. I had so many good memories running around that attraction in the morning before it opened, literally just by myself, wandering around it through the day, probably going into areas that I shouldn't be going into. And of course, again, meeting my wife there for the first time. So after it closes, we will never be able to go back to that first spot where we first met, which I guess that's what happens when you work in a place that could come or go at any time. But I'm excited for the future, but I think this is definitely a big loss nonetheless. I know a lot of people who it is their favorite attraction.
Well, it's a staple of the theme park. I mean, it's an opening, you know, they did the best Bring It On movie based around it, you said in that episode. And it's kind of like when you at least before the Wizarding World was around, like when you thought of Islands of Adventure, you thought of, that's one of the images that pops in your head.
I knew before I had ever been to Universal at all, I knew stuff like E.T., Jaws, I knew Dueling Dragons, and I knew Spider-Man. Those were kind of like the big ones. So it's definitely a massive loss, and get out there before September 4th if you want to experience it. So I can guarantee you that I will be there on that day, probably right up till closing, just so I can be there during the last hours of it. So that is that. But so kind of the fallout of everything with Dragon Challenge, the first questions I started getting on Twitter and other places from people who follow us is, so do you think this is a response?
No.
And absolutely not. As we said at the top of this, these plans have been in the work for so long that it's absolutely not a response. On top of that, too, it was Universal kind of, we've seen the history of what happens when they close attractions. Beetlejuice got extended a little bit, but besides that, everything else that closed, they basically gave right around a month's notice that it was going to be gone. They did that for Disaster. They did that for Twister. They give their fans enough time to get out to see it one last time without really extending the going away process, so that it becomes a big event. So no, this just works in. They could have waited another 2 weeks to announce it, and people still would have asked if it was a response. If they would have announced it before D23, everyone would have started asking, well, is it because they know that there's going to be so much announced at D23 that they're trying to jump in? Just got to give it up.
Well, I think if they had waited longer to announce it, it would have seemed even more like a response than just like announcing it pretty quickly. For me, pretty quickly says, well, we already thought about it. And we're just like letting you know that's what's happening.
Yeah. And then to turn around and say it's going to be ready for 2019.
Yeah,
that's another thing that clearly this has been on the like on the drawing boards for quite a while. And the fact that it's going to close September 5th and then open anytime in 2019, that is a very fast turnaround. So
if it ends up just keeping the same track?
And it's not.
Okay, because that's where I'm like, what if that's what they're doing, now, those sneaky people?
We've already seen it with... what makes me think that it's not going to be too much of an impressive, like it's going to be impressive, it's going to be immersive, like they said, but what keeps me thinking it's not going to be too insane, too crazy, is look at Disney with the Slinky Dog coaster. The Slinky Dog coaster is now finished. The final track just got connected together.
Yeah, but it's just a basic roller coaster isn't it?
It is. So
it's very less impressive from the aerial views than what was expected.
Yeah, but that only took a couple months in total to get the entire thing. So when you think of it in that way, if they have a couple months to put in, even if they take 6 months to lay the foundation, build that.
How long did it take to put the Hulk in,
Yeah, it did not take very long.
The foundation was already there, but it's still, like, to reassemble the track was only gone for a couple weeks, right?
No, it was gone for quite a while, but the foundation was there, but... It is possible to build a roller coaster fast, and then everything else surrounding it, I think it will be fine. But that leads me into the whole thought process on this, in that still at this point, when people ask, is what's Universal going to do to respond to Disney? As of right now, they don't have to do anything to respond to Disney, because currently Disney just announced a buttload of stuff that they're planning on doing.
Yeah.
But in some cases, stuff hasn't been... There's been no groundbreaking on it. Nothing's actually happened with it yet. It's some of the stuff, I'm sure, is still, still going through permits. And, well,
like, let me ask you, the Great Movie Ride, does that have a closing date?
Yeah, August 13th.
Oh, so it is soon. Okay.
Yeah.
What about Ellen? Did they give a closing date for that?
August 13th.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they're both closing August 13th.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They made a lot of announcements, but nothing was really in the process just yet.
Well, and but, it's even going in the is, process, like, but with Ellen, for example, that's going to shut down, but Guardians isn't coming for years and years and years.
Yeah, so. And I don't think it's going to be like, oh, it's replacing that, but it's not replacing that, because the whole thing was, there's a restaurant going to be over there, and there was a permit filed for like flattening the backstage area, so it's a remodel of that whole area.
Yeah, and with Great Movie Ride, while people are excited that Great Movie Ride is finally getting updated in a sense that it's getting gutted and replaced with Mickey, I'd pump the brakes a little bit on it. It was cool being in the announcement and hearing the excitement revolved around this Mickey ride, basically bringing an attraction to 2.5D, making it feel like it's 3D without actually needing glasses or anything. Yeah, that sounds exciting on paper, but is it going to be impressive anymore when Disney opens up an attraction? When do you ever say like, oh, you know what, this is definitely going to be like a C-ticket attraction? You don't. You always immediately jump to the thought that it's going to be an e-ticket, and they kind of sell it like that too. So you can't have a park just with only e-ticket attractions. It's just not possible. So somewhere things are going to have to start falling down. But the point is, none of these things are anywhere close to being done. And at the end of the day, they are just going to be attractions placed inside parks. Universal is going to continue to bring new attractions too, and to update old attractions in the way that they need to. So saying just because you're throwing in Guardians of the Galaxy or Mickey Mouse, that doesn't mean that that's going to kill Universal in general.
No,
bringing Ratatouille over, a ride from the Disneyland Paris park, the Studios park out there, and just porting it over for us, that's not a Universal killer. It's just not. Yes, Universal is going to need to change their game plan with these attractions. They can't keep taking the same path as they have before in terms of using tons of screens and heavily basing it on simulators. They are going to have to take some steps forward in terms of that. But by no means at all can you say that because Disney's adding new attractions that they are going to kill it. And let's go back to Pandora when that opened up. I went on the record saying that after seeing Pandora, Universal has something to worry about. And I still agree with that. Pandora is incredibly immersive in a way that I didn't think Disney would ever be able to come close to recreating what Universal has done with Potter. It's still not perfect. Like I said, with Potter, you feel like you are truly living in the movies. With Pandora, I don't feel like I'm going and actually stepping foot into Pandora, into the movie Avatar. I just feel like I'm in this world based on a movie, and it is immersive, but you're not stepping foot into the movie. Flight of Passage, great attraction. One of the best attractions at Disney. I personally think it's one of the best attractions at Disney, but is it better than Spider-Man or Forbidden Journey? Absolutely not. No.
It's good. It's different, but it's not. I wasn't blown away by it. No. I wasn't like, it's not from like, I'm like, oh, I mean, it's cool, but it's not, I don't need to do it again. I don't know. I'm sure some people out there love it, but it didn't pull me away the same way. Like, Forbidden Journey does, you know, or like you said, Spider-Man, those, I feel like I disappear into that world. Yeah. In Avatar, I was like, well, I'm looking at a screen riding a bike. Like, I can see everybody else around me. At least, like, they theme the vehicle and the reason why you can see people in those attractions at Universal. At least those, that it's part of the story, you know?
Yeah. No,
I guess you could argue it's part of the story at Pandora too, but it doesn't feel the same, you know? It acknowledges that it's fake.
Yeah, I would say I agree with that. With Pandora, while everyone's going in and getting into their avatar, you're all essentially then flying the same exact flight path. At least with some of these Universal attractions, they do take in a little bit more of the aspect of like, oh, this is an Omnimover, essentially. We will show you where you need to be looking at.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always include the car next to you. So I definitely see that. But the next thing, While Universal has to worry based on what they did with Pandora, that's not a killer for them. The big thing that could throw them for a loop is Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge, when that opens up. We've seen the model now. It's very impressive. We've heard more and more about the attractions. It seems like a Star Wars nerd's dream.
Well, if the hotel, like the rumor is, if the hotel's going to open into the... That's for me the next level.
Yeah.
If that fully themed, fully immersive luxury hotel opens directly into the land, so that not only are you in space in the hotel, but then you step out onto a planet, that's next level immersion.
That absolutely is.
That right there, like what you're talking about, that's taking what Diagon Alley was and moving it up.
Exactly. I 100% agree with you. That is the next base. And I have no doubt, based on those models, seeing what happened with Pandora, I have no doubt that Disney is going to pull it off. My issue still, and I've said this since Star Wars, anything was announced, my issue is how can they actually carry over that immersive theming throughout? My thing with Potter, and I've always said it, is that the team members have such a passion, such a pride for the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, that they work on their theming to be a part of the story. They're not in the book, so you're not an official part of the story, but you want to continue that story for any guest walking in. And that's why they walk in. They may be a witch or wizard, and you don't quite know unless they're dressed as a witch or wizard. Otherwise, they're muggles, and that's how they will. That's how they'll always be, and you address them as that. You keep them in that story. With Star Wars, it seems like Disney wants to do that, but they've never done it before, so I don't know how they are actually going to accomplish it. And so the next thing, as you mentioned, the hotel with this, everyone's clamoring, well, when are we going to get a Harry Potter hotel? When are we going to be able to sleep in the dorms of Hogwarts?
I mean, I've wondered this for a while. So then, like, Star Wars, I think, essentially took the idea. It was like, oh, people wanted a Harry Potter hotel. We should do a Star Wars hotel. Yeah.
And I will just say, from my experience working at Universal, knowing what happens, what Universal goes through with Warner Brothers, with J.K. Rowling, I don't think it's ever going to happen unless J.K. Rowling dies unexpectedly and no one wants to take over her life's work, or if Universal Comcast buys Warner Brothers and is able to just run free reign on it. That's the only way
that would happen.
Well, it's Like, I'm talking, it is so strict. When Warner Brothers comes to the parks, if we have our radios out, like, when if I would be standing out front of Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, and I was at the greeter position, you have a radio, so that way you can communicate to your leads as well as the ride booth, all that. If Warner Brothers came through and saw that you had your radio on, that's you would instantly get in trouble for that. Like, you weren't allowed to have your standard operating equipment that you need.
I was just going to say, I was like, don't they always have that?
Yeah, every attraction is supposed to have that, but we would have to hide it when Warner Brothers came through because they didn't want to see it. You know, if there was graffiti in the queue that we didn't clean up the right way, they would lose their minds over it. If the show was too terrible, they set the guidelines for what the show quality needed to be, and we had to make sure it was maintained. And if it wasn't, again,
I respect accountability because it happens at Disney, it happens at Universal. Something starts out great and then it just devolves, you know, into like crap.
No,
whether it's the cast member training that just eventually they get lazier and lazier and lazier. And I'm not knocking the person that whatever. We've all been there. We are all trainers. We know that some people, like, you get especially at Disney with like CPs that are there, they're not invested, or especially in Florida.
Yeah.
And this is always my I like Disneyland because of this. It's harder to connect to the history here than it is there, because there is that respect. Local. A lot of people live there. You know, here it's not the same feeling from the guests and from the cast. So, but with something like Harry Potter, like you're saying, is like it is something that you carry that with you in your heart, you know? And so you need to find stuff like that. With Star Wars though, I think that is the first thing that Disney has that really can offer that potential to a cast member the same way that Harry Potter offers that to a team member.
But the concern is, which has always been my concern, is the accountability. The accountability.
I thought it was nerds.
So where Universal, as you said, you have to uphold the standards of Warner Brothers, of J.K. Rowling, the legacy of Potter.
Oh, that's true. They don't have anybody to answer to.
No, they don't.
Star Wars doesn't, yeah.
So, but we've also seen changes and stuff that we've assumed is because, well, Disney owns them now. That's why they've stopped doing it. You don't see Mickey, the hoopla. Yeah, you don't see Mickey and the Fab Five dressed up as Star Wars characters anymore.
Which I'm happy about. Yeah. I'm sorry, because I felt like the hoopla made no sense to me because Darth Vader's never going to come out and dance to Thriller. that's not consistent story. I know it was funny and it was cute, but that's like a thing you go to Comic-Con and there's like a stage show and whatever.
So Disney has shown a lot of signs that they are going to respect the brand and uphold the standards with it. A lot of the people that I've listened to from Lucasfilm talk about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. They've also said they are seriously doing whatever they can to keep everything in it canon as much as possible. And that's very cool. But they have to follow through on it, because at the same time, we can't forget about Nintendo. Nintendo is coming, and when
it comes, it's haunting.
It's very haunting. Nintendo's coming, and when it gets here, it's going to blow all of us away.
If that leaked map is any indication of like what's going to be there, then it is one of those where you're like, I know when people that I think this is something where it could be the theme park in a theme park.
Yeah. No. Exactly. We've seen the leaked map that has probably been updated several times since that one was leaked. Seen leaked models of it, which just look mind blowing. And we've heard what they've said about it, what they're planning to do with it. This will be a fully immersive and groundbreaking land of all sorts.
Do you think they'll serve like they'll give you your food, but it comes in like a crate that you have to break open, and then it's like an apple.
Like
a chicken leg.
I really hope.
Yeah.
So I mean, we already know they said stuff like you'll be able to. They've said that there will be interactive elements throughout the land that correlate to what actually happens in the video games. And this is just the tip of the iceberg with Nintendo, as we've always said. We know Super Mario is going to be in there. We know Donkey Kong is going to be in there. But then they just have this wide variety of places they can go, ways they can continue to develop. It doesn't have to stop with this first Super Mario Land. There's been plenty of Mario games that it can continue on. If they can tap Pokemon ever, that will be the next step. And I guarantee you right now, because because Universal is always trying to stay on the edge of what they need to do next, they are already looking for the next IP that they are going to take, and they are just going to harness it in an amazing way.
All the stuff happening at Disney feels like a response to Universal. So when everyone's like, how's Universal going to respond? This is just that tug of war we knew was going to happen. Yeah. It's not a response. It's just that Universal's been laying out plans and being the organized student and being like, okay, we've upped our game here. Let's continue to up our game. You know, not without fault, because obviously look at Jimmy Fallon, how terrible that attraction is. But they innovated a queue. So, like, they're still innovating. They're still moving. And Disney's finally like, oh, my God, we have slacked off. Now we're going to make all these announcements to be like, look at all our flash. We'll distract you from the fact that we've been terrible for the last couple of years, you know? So I don't see this. I feel like this is playing catch-up to Universal.
Yeah. Well, and let's be real. Universal does know. They do have a good idea of what they're doing. Fallon, while the ride is extremely disappointing, it is still pulling lines. So let's not pretend like it's a failure because the ride sucks. Yeah, it sucks, but it's still popular.
Well, I like the building. I like everything to do with it. I just don't enjoy the actual attraction. But that being said, like, that could turn into something else, and then I could love it. You know?
Fast and Furious will probably – the ride itself will probably suck. But you know what? It's a massive franchise that people keep coming out to. It is the – this year, besides Beauty and the Beast, it is the – Fate of the Furious was the second highest box office worldwide. And I can't imagine that anything is going to knock it off that position. I think it's going to end up being number two. The last one was number one. I believe the one before that was number one worldwide.
I'm assuming Star Wars will.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Star Wars?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, if it was like the off year, like how like Rogue One did well, but it didn't do Force Awakens well.
Plus, you have to remember,
it's also the end of the
year. It's the end of the year, 3 weeks to do it. Exactly. Yeah. It's not going to accomplish it. Yes, it is going to be massive for 2018. That will probably be the number one of 2018. But in terms of 2017, it's going to be Beauty and the Beast and then Fate of the Furious. Unless they even find a way to, well, I'm sure Disney's going to try to release Beauty and the Beast again to get its ground held on that. Because I think...
You think they're going to re-release the movie by the end of the year?
I think they would. And I wouldn't be surprised. They've done it before. They've done it with Frozen. They already re-released it in the sing-along format one time.
Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us.
You know Disney wants to make sure that that movie does whatever it has to do to be number one box office.
What's left for Disney for the rest of the year? It's just Star Wars, or is there another? Coco and Star Wars.
Coco, Star Wars, and
there were only six movies this year, something like that, six or eight. But
I know we're missing another one, and I can't think of what it is. Maybe we're not missing another one. Maybe my mind's melted.
Yeah, I'm just saying they don't have, like, we're kind of in that dry stretch right now too. So it's like they've only got the November and the December. There's no Marvel one. Marvel, Thor.
Thor. Thank you. I feel like it's been...
But again, I don't know that you're also like, they're releasing, like, yes, it's a Pixar film, it'll do solid, but it's a very unique Pixar film. And Thor, again, yes, it's a Marvel movie, it'll do solid, but it's Thor. It's not everyone's favorite Marvel thing, but it looks great, you know? Like, and
I can say, based on our coverage from D23, Coco is the least thing. Coco is like one of the least things people are excited about. They're just not. So we can't expect that. We can't expect that to be a hit, and we can't expect that to win any Oscars for Best Animated Feature either next year.
Oh, I doubt that. I mean, I doubt that it will win anything. Yeah. Maybe score. I don't know. Song.
Going in with that, Fast and the Furious. Wow, we really got on a tangent there from that. Fast and Furious, while the ride will probably suck, it's going to drive in people worldwide because people go ape crazy, and as long as it's different enough from the Hollywood version, which we know the base of the ride is probably going to be the exact same as the Hollywood, but with what happens up to it, if they do kind of like Kong, where they make it worthy of like saying, oh, well, if you've done it in Hollywood, you've never done it in Orlando, though. If they do it in that type of fashion, then right there, you have another winner on your hands. Kong is still immensely popular, even to this day.
I think they did a good job with the Kong right here. Yeah, I think it was... It's like they took what was a cool video out there, but then created the attraction here. And that's what I'm hoping they do with Fast and Furious, although it's not a very cool video, but it's like,
no,
but it like, if done correctly, it could be like a fun thing where like, it, you know what I mean? It could be one of those like fan favorites because it's so terrible. Yeah. It's good.
And, I guess wrapping this thing up, finally talking about everything going on with Disney and Universal right now, battling responses back and forth. Like I said many times, Rhino said it through this episode too, Universal has their plan. We now know 2017 was Fallon in Volcano Bay. Which Volcano Bay, yeah, people might be pissed off that there's tons of lines and they can't get anything done. But you know what? It's hitting capacity every single day.
Yeah.
And they're letting in far too many people that is causing these intense lines. But that's also saying that, you know, even with letting all those people in, it's still going crazy. So you can only, you know, while it may be a failure in terms of line management, it's an extremely popular park right now. 2018, we know we're going to have Fast and Furious. That's on the books. 2019, we know we're going to have the next Potter attraction now. And the reason why Universal doesn't need to announce more and more and more and more is because right now their parks aren't nearly as in the state of disrepair that the Disney parks are. While Universal has its bad sections, specifically talking about the Lost Continent area inside Islands of Adventure, you know, that whole area, while pretty to look at still, is basically wasted space. Yep. Besides that, you know, they have, I would say Universal's only problem with Islands of Adventure itself is their dining, which needs a complete overhaul. Their quick service dining is terrible. And then the Lost Continent. Toon Lagoon, while outdated, the two attractions in there, Dudley Do-Right's Rips Off Falls and Popeye and Bluto's Bill Drop Barges, they're still amazing attractions. So, you know, while the areas are relevant, the attractions are great. There's nothing wrong with them. With Universal Studios, while we would love to see something replace Shrek and Terminator, these little issues are few and far between. It's not like Epcot, where you have a pavilion that sits completely unused except for festivals, and then you have a terrible ride in Imagination, and then you have a terrible, but I love it, ride in Universe of Energy. Like, and with Hollywood Studios, you don't have just four rides. Like, Universal doesn't have the problems that Disney does. So that's why they had to announce 100 things at once, mm-hmm. whereas Universal only needs to stick to that one a year. And they will continue. And then eventually we're going to get that new park. And we're going to have it on there. I don't think there's ever going to be the Hogwarts Hotel. Again, just the standards. Unless Comcast buys Warner Brothers, I don't see it happening. Because they will never be able to uphold the standards. And that's a great thing. I don't want to see people ruining the hotel and disrespecting it. And, you know, it would make no sense to see a front desk at Hogwarts with people holding their phones and stuff. That would make absolutely no sense from the second you walk into it.
I guess.
Well, I want to see themed rooms. It just doesn't make sense if you want to follow the story and keep everything extremely immersive. And wow, I'm getting worked up with it. So that means it's time to wrap this up completely for the second time now. So again, Disney may announce things. Universal isn't responding. Once they're built at Disney, once we see the reaction, once we see how it's done, then that's up for Universal to respond. But right now, there is no war. It's just it's maybe that tug of war, but let's keep this all under control. So thank you for that fun conversation, Rhino. Mm-hmm. I liked your input here and there. I hope everyone else has thoughts and opinions. If you do have thoughts and opinions on it, leave them in those comments below. If you agreed with some of the things I said, hit that thumbs up. If you disagreed with everything I said, go ahead, hit that thumbs down. We'll see if you get my love and attention anymore. The answer is you won't.
We'll see you in the parking lot.
Yeah, we'll see you in the parking lot. Fist. Yeah, that's what'll happen. Just fists.
Fisticuffs.
Yeah, and of course, as always, if you enjoyed this video and any others that we put out there, go ahead and share it. That's the best way to keep spreading the word on it. Make sure you're subscribed to us on YouTube as well as iTunes, and you're leaving all the feedbacks and everything that you can. Of course, DizUnplugged.com, that's the home of our show notes page for this show and every other on the Diz Unplugged podcast network, and that's where you'll find links to our social media, email, and more. So follow us on Facebook, Twitter, etc. So thank you again to everyone out there for watching and listening to this. I really hope that you enjoyed it, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. And until next time, remember, no resolutions.